Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
This is Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about the NBC show Animal Practice. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razorbabes Frisbee. How you doing, Mr. Jason Razorbabes?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited for this show.
It's going to be a hot one. Our guest this week is Jesse P.S. from the Pod Awful Show. How are you doing, Jesse P.S.?
I'm doing better than Jason, in that I answered immediately.
That's what I like to hear.
I'm attentive.
I've got a 10-second delay.
Yeah, that's how you can tell if people are sad and or depressed.
A 10-second delay?
I thought that just meant there was a satellite feed.
No, those reporters on CNN, they're all depressed.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so Jesse P.S., there's something I wanted to talk about with you, something I've always wanted to talk about with you.
Okay.
You could
at any time. You didn't have to wait till now, but okay.
I've been wanting to wait till now.
Turn these mics off.
It's going to be anticlimactic after I phrased it that way. But you used to work at a wax museum.
What? Yes.
Yes. I've been to some wax museums in my day. And it struck me in those wax museums. I looked around. I said, here's a Pamela Anderson. Here's a Michelle Pfeiffer from Batman Returns.
You guys got some good ones.
Yeah, it's the one in Niagara Falls. And then other ones have like Jenna Jameson and Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, people like this. How often do people masturbate in the wax museum?
Not often enough for me. That's a good question. All right, you know what? This is great. I love this question. Here's why. I'm going to answer this way more truthfully than I ever should admit to anything ever. As far as I know, I've never seen a customer at the wax museum. I don't currently work there, but I never have seen a customer at the wax museum actually jerking off to one or even inappropriately touching them other than the occasional, like, my hands are floating above the boobs and I'm making a face at the camera. I, however, when I worked at that job, did masturbate there.
Next to one of the pieces, or did you have to go in the bathroom?
I wasn't next to one of the pieces, although the closest one to me was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Now I can see why you masturbated.
Thank you. I was trying to find the wizard. But yeah, no joke. I when I worked there, I was bored. There was no one there for some time, and I went behind the screen where they would show 4D movies, and I jerked off.
They showed 40 movies at the wax museum?
Yeah, it's because once you've seen a bunch of wax, all you need in life is for bubbles to interact with you. that's a real thing I've never told anyone but you guys, so keep that under your hats.
I'm glad that I've been saving this question for 6 months.
Yeah.
But you've never caught anybody, you never heard stories of anybody going in there? Because, I mean, every time I go to the library, I see somebody whacking off at one of the computers. So, I mean, it must...
Like homeless guy?
Yeah, all these homeless guys and old people whacking off at the computers. So it must stand to reason that people just go into the wax museum.
I've whacked off in a library. Just talk about the things I've whacked off in.
Where have you whacked?
Let's see. School, library, church, work, several different jobs. It wasn't just the wax museum. On a little girl's bed. She wasn't there. Don't worry, nothing weird.
Did you know? Or did you just sneak in through a window after seeing her at a playground?
I gained her trust. Chernobyl. I whacked off at Chernobyl.
Yeah, all right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that part.
Yeah, I'm whacking off right now on Pool Party Radio. Listen to it.
Listen to this man come. This Friday.
You'll know when I come because there'll be a sound effect.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised by that. I figured there would be like just tons of stories of people masturbating at wax museums.
I mean, I never saw anyone. but it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Although the wax museum I worked in was in Times Square, so there's constantly people there. It would be very difficult to get away with it.
Yeah, that's probably true. Although people are probably, it would probably, like, old people are used to whacking off in Times Square. And they're probably like, you know how, like, old people, like, even when their neighborhoods go bad in New York, they refuse to leave because they grew up here in these neighborhoods. It's probably like that.
No, they're about to be demolished. They chain themselves to their old shitty house.
Yeah, like those people. Those people exist. You know, the people who used to whack off when there was porn in Times Square still exist, and now they're whacking off in places like that and at the haunted house there.
Well, there's still what haunted house? There still is porn in Times Square. It's just all been relegated to like a single block.
Oh, I missed that block. I've been there a couple of times. I never saw that block.
Now I'm 8th Avenue between 42nd and 43rd. Jack off.
Go all the way down by NYU to jack off. This is upsetting.
Yeah.
By that peanut butter restaurant.
The NYU is a good place to jack off too, because there you got them college kids.
You got that.
They ain't ever seen anything like that.
New to them. They're fresh. They're
to experiment.
Yeah, they're fresh off the bus. And they're like, oh, finally, I get to see a real man whack off right here.
And then they're like, ugh! See?
That's River City Ransom whack off.
Yeah. I also just fought a gang.
Barf.
There were lots of butts in that game. It's a good whack off game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That and Custer's Last Stand, or what is it? Custer's Revenge?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Custer's Revenge, yeah.
The game where you go around raping Indians.
Yeah, and then just jerking off on them and shooting jizz at them from above.
That's a game that should be remade with nice graphics.
Weren't the Indians in that game, weren't they blonde for some reason?
Yeah.
I feel like they were blonde. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they were blonde-haired and blue-eyed Indians.
I guess they have a limited color palette.
Or they were just very racist about their Indians.
Or maybe the color palette itself is racist, and that's why it's limited.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what? There's lots of questions.
This game raises more questions than answers.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play this sort of game, this segment we've been doing the last couple of weeks. It's called Judge Frisbee's Hypocrisy Court. This is a game slash segment we do where I make a case against somebody, and then Judge Frisbee will decide if they have broken any hypocrisy laws and how much time they should serve in hypocrisy jail. And Jesse, you can serve as
bailiff
or Jesse, or any other sort of courtroom guy.
Bailiff. I watch Night Court. He's the funny one.
I'll preface it with this story. The other day I was on the Twitter, and all of a sudden I got bombarded with all these tweets about how Tig Notaro is the funniest person alive, and how
for now,
her most recent stand-up set at Largo was the best thing that's ever happened, and people like Bill Burr, actual funny people like Bill Burr and Louis C.K. were talking about how it was the greatest thing they've ever seen. And so I said to myself, well, there's probably three explanations for what's happening here on Twitter. Either Tig Notaro, who before this was very unfunny, has suddenly become the funniest person genuinely, or Tig Notaro is about to die. And it turns out Tig Notaro is about to die.
Right.
Hey, let's all give a round of applause. I didn't have a sound effect for that. That's my actual hands.
So now Tig Notaro is about to die, which explains why everybody thinks she's a good stand-up suddenly at this late stage in her career. And also, a few hours later, or maybe a couple of days later, something I have no concept of time, here's where we get to my case that I'm making against comedy. Jeffrey Ross said that Tig Notaro was at the Roseanne roast that just happened, and that she looked great and blah blah blah, she's very funny now. And so, when this Roseanne roast airs in a couple of days, and there's no Tig Notaro
Sorry.
It's quite alright.
I came. I honestly don't know what just happened. I didn't press anything, I swear.
That's just what it sounds like.
Sorry, go on.
When this Roseanne roast airs in a couple of days, and there's no Tig Notaro cancer jokes, will that be hypocrisy on you know, the comedy community and whatever comedians are at this crummy event. Will that be hypocrisy, Mr. Frisbee? That they always say, nothing's off limits. We're making fun of the Batman thing. We're making fun of Joe Paterno. But when, and if, but I'm assuming that when, there's no joke about Tig Notaro, is that hypocrisy?
I kind of see where you're coming from, but that's... I'm more interested in how you came about this. Like, why... What struck you as hypocritical about this? Doesn't it usually have to take place when somebody's doing something against what they had originally done before?
Yeah, well, if all comedians always make these jokes about dead people and people getting raped and people dying, you know, like they did, Amy Schumer did that Ryan Dunn joke.
Were they making jokes about Tig Notaro getting cancer before she had cancer? And then they're like, whoops, she's so brave. Is that what happened?
No, but now that she has cancer, like if Ryan Dunn had cancer, they would probably make a joke about it. But if it's a comedian that has this horrible tragedy befall them and it doesn't get made fun of at the roast, despite the fact that that comedian is at the roast and it's a timely thing as it just happened, is it hypocritical?
This is a huge hypothetical. Like, no one's going to prison for this. Like, I'm supposed to decide how much prison time somebody's going to get for an act of hypocrisy that has not been committed yet.
No, well,
I think you're confusing this court with Soviet Russia. Like, if this were Pussy Riot or something, we could probably get away with this.
Can I just say this? I'm not so sure that the timing is working out here in your favor anyway, because I think that the roast had already been recorded by the time people really knew about her boob disease. What do you call that? Breast cancer.
Before they recorded the roast.
Yeah.
So everybody already knew about it.
Okay, maybe so. Guess I was right.
I think the foghorn noise is somewhat appropriate, though. I think this is a pretty huge hypothetical. Like, even if I did agree with you, I wouldn't know what would I be judging? Who would I be judging? Jeffrey Ross?
The comedy community.
That's a huge community. I'm not it's willing really to pull up this out. It's more like a gathering.
Yeah, or is it like just there's people that are comedians and, you know, sometimes they hang out? Is that a community? What makes a community?
Whoever was telling jokes at this stupid roast.
Okay. I would say I kind of agree with Parker, actually. I think that if they can't joke about it, then they shouldn't be able to joke about anything else. And if they got mad that someone did do a joke about it, then it would be hypocritical. But because that hasn't happened yet, I think we might be jumping the gun a bit.
But what if we make fun of Tig Notaro's breast cancer and then people get mad at us?
No one will get mad at us because we're no one.
All right. So I guess that means we have to find somebody to get mad at us.
Wait, I tell you what. Let's all three simultaneously make a joke about Tig Notaro's boob disease. What is it? Breast cancer. Make a joke about her breast cancer. And that way it's the worst thing that could be done. And hopefully someone will take notice. Okay.
Well, because we're on Skype, we're going to have to do it one at a time. Otherwise it'll sound jumbled and shitty.
Yeah. Let's go for jumbled and shitty.
Yeah. So counting down.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Tig Notaro.
Vasectomy will just make firing the bow so much easier.
See why we had to do it all jumbled. I'll go ahead and make my joke.
I didn't say real words.
Yeah. I said mastectomy. I think that's the only thing that came out.
Is that a real word?
Yeah, it's. Isn't that when the breast gets removed because of cancer?
Who would remove a breast?
Doctors.
What kind of doctor?
Boob doctor.
Boob doctor? What Jesse said.
I don't know about this. When it comes to the medical world, I don't like to keep abreast with.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was just about to say that maybe they didn't make a joke at the roast because they weren't abreast of the topic.
I'm sorry, I stepped on it.
It's okay.
Tig Notaro was at the Olympics, though, and she won the gold for breast cancer.
Joke.
No, it was an important joke. See, get it? Like, it breast sounds like best.
Oh, Yeah, I get it. I thought you were going to say for breaststroke.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
And then you just said for breast cancer. Oh, that was great.
All right. All right.
Anyway, tweet that one.
Frisbee is dismissing this case.
Yeah, it's a preliminary. I don't see who's getting accused here. But we'll come back to it.
All rise. Sorry, I forgot I was the bailiff.
It's a very important job.
Sorry.
Well, now that my case has been thrown out and I'm depressed, I want to talk about this place I went to in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago that I forgot to mention last time we did a show. And it's a like survival store where they sell guns and ammunition and survival stuff, like those little pellets you put into water and it makes it drinkable.
Right.
And they also sell zombie stuff.
So these people are crazy.
Yes, these people are very crazy. I think it started out as just a survival store and they didn't make any money. So they added zombies because people like zombies.
Right. Of course. Yeah. That's a big thing right now.
Yeah. And it's very cool. I feel as a crazy person about zombies that they have like Shaun of the Dead DVDs and stuff like Night of the Living Dead DVDs next to ammunition. It's also like a pretty creepy store because, like I said, like they've got Shaun of the Dead DVDs. Like they've got this whole entertainment part of the store, like
right
behind the guns and ammunition. That's like Shaun of the Dead DVDs and, you know, like Max Brooks's zombie books and stuff like that. And then like all this stuff about like how Obama's a Muslim from Kenya and stuff like this.
So do they sell their tinfoil hats pre-made or do they just have like Reynolds wrap? Do it yourself.
Yeah, I think they just sell the Reynolds wrap and then you do it.
Okay.
And so that was delightful. There's like all these like poorly Xeroxed pamphlets about like how Ron Paul is going to save everybody from nuclear war and stuff. So I thought that was cute. And then my wife bought me a machete for no reason.
Is it for no reason or is it for a very good reason?
Well, we tried to justify reasons. Like, we go camping every once in a while, and it could, like, help us chop wood or whatever machetes are for.
Boom, there you go.
Yeah, so that was our justification for it. But mostly, I think we just bought it because it looks really cool. It looks like something from Jason X. And because SawFan666 from the internet would be pretty pleased.
Have you already swung it around while standing alone in your living room?
Yeah, I was only wearing socks and shoes at the time. As you do with a machete. That's how you best train.
No, I wouldn't, because I'd be afraid I'd whack something off, and not in the good way, like I do at a 4D movie theater.
Yeah, it almost fell on my foot the other day, though, so now I like kind of fear it, and I'm probably going to sell it, because I tend to bump into things a lot. Because
if the shipping's free, I'll buy it.
Okay, but the machete itself is $3,000.
As long as the shipping's free.
Okay.
I don't believe in S&H.
I agree with you, especially on DVDs that are a fucking penny, and then you have to pay $5 in shipping and handling on Amazon.
Yeah, what exactly are they have you ever received a package where it looks like it was well handled?
Oh, and it says right on it, it says $1.25 right in the corner where the stupid postal guy stamped it. I know it didn't cost $6 to ship.
Oh, hey, hang on a second. Let's be quiet for just a second and see if Jason fell asleep.
Okay.
He's sleeping.
Yeah.
Frisbee, are you there?
I'm still awake.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
How do you
How do I feel about this?
You go to a survival store. Do you need survival goods? Are you afraid of the end times? And do you think Obama is a Muslim from Kenya?
I like that you said Obama, by the way.
But my response is no to all of those. I don't think we're at end of times. It's definitely not going to be a zombie apocalypse.
Wrong! you think you're fit to rule over a hypocrisy court, and you don't even think this is the end times.
This court is adjourned.
Hey, if it was zombie court, man, I'd be more willing to agree. But
okay, what makes you zombie court?
This zombie ate brains. Parker, do you think this store is justified or what?
I mean, it's way out in the middle of the desert and everybody needs guns in the desert. I don't care what your feelings on guns are. If you live in the desert, and you don't own a gun and you don't go out in your backyard every once in a while and shoot lizards, then you're fucking stupid. I think it is a cool store on, if you just look at it like that, that it's for shooting lizards.
Do you shoot lizards now?
No, I live in a half desert. I don't live in the whole desert. But I would lizard. I don't like them.
Do you live in the desert of your mind?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but
it's a metaphor.
Alright. What's your favorite kind of cactus? Like, that's the kind of host I am anyway.
I like the cactar ones from Final Fantasy VIII.
Mm-hmm. I like the ones that wear punching gloves, boxing gloves, and have faces. Is that not a thing? I might have watched too much Digimon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's only from Digimon.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got, can I, now tell me if I'm, you know, stepping on any toes here, but I have a quick segment idea.
Do you have any music to go along with your segment?
Oh, God, do I ever. This segment is called Guess That Sound Effect. Okay. And now I'm staring at the sound effects board, and it says, shwink! Now, I want us all to each take a guess on what shwink would be used for if we were Foley artists. Frisbee, why don't you go ahead and start?
Some sort of sword coming out of a hilt.
Ooh, I like it. That's a pretty good guess. All right, Parker?
I think it would be for when a robot winks at a pretty girl.
Shwink! Okay. And I'm going to guess that it's when a man is made tiny. You know, by ray gun or various other sources. All right, and let's take a listen. Oh, it was slipping on a banana peel. Never mind. Slipping on a banana peel.
What? And, a banana peel. Everybody knows what that sounds like.
And that was, guess that sound effect. Okay, you can continue with your own show now.
I don't know. All right, let's get into this.
I just put things to a dead stop.
I think my story about this store put things to a dead stop. Frisbee doesn't want to admit his feelings about Obama smelling like doo-doo.
Is that what the pamphlet said? Hey,
yeah.
Hey, I thought it just said...
Well, it's like common knowledge, I think.
Watch what you say about him around me, okay?
I'll try not to get you in too much trouble.
You're going to get investigated now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think it's illegal to say he smells like doo-doo.
It should be.
Okay, listener email comes from Blake. Blake wrote in for a show 2 weeks ago, and he brought up the MC Chris discussion that we talked about. He referenced it as the MC Chris issue. Now, as someone who has been kicked out of a show for unjust reasons, would you continue to be a fan? And more importantly, would you ever go to one of their live shows again if you've been kicked out previously? And this is referring to when MC Chris, while in Philadelphia, read the Twitter feed of somebody who is at the show who's making fun of the opening act, Power Glove, and subsequently came out to do his own bit, MC Chris did, and asked the person who published that tweet, to identify him or herself, and he proceeded to kick that person out because of the tweet.
Get the fuck off my stage! Get out!
That's probably what it sounded like.
Yeah,
I haven't seen video footage of it, but that's a really good MC Chris impression. It
was... I'm a chicken hawk.
It's probably super comical. MC Chris trying to look tough.
Yeah, well, when he tries to look tough, he ends up crying.
Yeah, that's the end result, is that once he found out that this person was a writer for a prominent video game magazine, and considering that most of MC Chris's fans, I'm guessing, are still video game aficionados.
I thought you were going to say...
Look bad. 15? More than likely, yeah. So, what if any of us got kicked out of a show? Would we likely go back to any of that person's shows afterwards? That's what's being asked here.
if I got kicked out for some bullshit MC Chris reasons, I would probably not go back. But if I got like kicked out for like moshing too hard, I guess.
Right, partying too hard.
If I was partying way too hard and they kicked me out, then you know, that's reasonable, I guess. I guess you can party too hard and you just got to deal with it. You'd probably be mad at the time and call people bro while getting kicked out, but we're up the next day. You'd probably be cool with the laws and the bylaws of shows and everything like that.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I have been kicked out of a lot of things. Although I'm not sure a show has ever been one of those things. I can't recall a time I've been kicked out of a show. So I don't have firsthand experience. But if I were kicked out of a show, I would absolutely return not only to another show, but every other show. And just be a fly in that show's ointment.
Would you repeat the same exact circumstance each time just to see if it would still get you kicked out?
I would do it, but every time I would wear a sillier hat.
How about you, Mr. Frisbee? Do you own any silly hats?
I believe I do. One of those old newsy hats. It's a ridiculous looking one. It's like patchwork.
Silly hat contest. Who's got the silliest hat?
A Robin Hood hat with a giant red feather.
Okay, you're getting there.
Okay. And I think that's all I got.
I have hats. Do you have?
I have a hat that's like one of those little skull hats that like olden times burglars wore.
No, not silly enough.
Oh.
Yeah. Jesse, silly hats or no silly hats?
Yeah, I've got a 3 foot tall leprechaun hat, and yeah, that's probably the silliest hat I've got.
Yeah, well, living in New York, you probably get like just wheelbarrows full of silly hats after New Year's Eve. You just collect them off the road. There's like all kinds of stupid ass hats and glasses just littering the streets.
That's a good point. That's exactly why I avoid New York at all costs during New Year's Eve.
Mr. Frisbee, you went to New York for New Year's Eve, did you not?
I did. Yeah, that's true. I was actually not in Manhattan, though. I was wherever Terminal 21 is, whatever it is.
Wait, so they're like, oh, man, it's New Year's Eve. I'm going to have the dopest vacation ever. I got to go to the airport in Brooklyn.
No, it wasn't an airport. It was the name of a venue. What's the venue name?
Terminal Cancer, Tignataro's new venue.
Nice.
Now that's a really smart joke.
I love this soundboard wars. I really thought I'd be higher class than this, but this is killing me.
Oh, I'm fighting you with sound.
Yeah, I like undermines my Anthony Jeselnik reinforcing and validating my jokes with your honking. So what was at this terminal, this airport terminal?
It was something in the Bronx. It was a venue called Terminal
The Bronx.
Yeah, that's how foreigners dictate what's in New York. They call it the Bronx still. Ugh. Where do you live in New York?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn. You know, a place for white people.
Do they not call it the Bronx?
No.
These white people you speak of?
No, we call it the Boogie Down BX.
Just like they did in the days of the Warriors.
The days of yore. Who was a man that lived in the Bronx?
Yorick, yeah.
Are you in a Warriors-esque gang? Do you dress up?
Not only am I in a Warriors-esque game, I am in a gang. I'm in the Warriors.
So you're part of the Coney Island Warriors, then?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I said I live in Brooklyn, yeah. You know, I go around with bottles on my fingers and being annoying and weird.
Intern Robo John Brown, what do you know about the Bronx? What is it like?
The ghetto.
All right. Okay. So tell me more, Frisbee. I keep cutting you off. What happened at this terminal you went to?
Well, it was a music performance from Gogo Bordello.
Seen that band.
You have not seen that band?
No, I did see that band at the Warped Tour one time.
I haven't. Are they like Gwar?
They are exactly like Gwar, except without costumes, and they don't play heavy metal.
But they do look like they smell super bad.
Seriously, yeah. What kind of band is this?
I don't know how to describe it now. Like, it, they describe themselves as gypsy folk. Have you ever heard the Pogues?
No. You're getting okay. worse and worse here.
What bands do you know?
Did you say what bands do I know?
Yeah, we can go from there.
Let's see. I only know of one band, and that's Polaris, the band that is the theme
from
song.
Pete and Pete. Yeah. Theme.
Let's ask Robo John Brown what bands he knows.
Bump and Ice T.P.E. and third bass.
Okay, now continue with your story.
So imagine Polaris with like five more members on top of the three members that are already there. And then they have like an accordion and a violinist and two girls dressed as gypsies who dance around the stage.
So my girlfriend could be in this band. She's a gypsy.
Yeah?
Yeah, she smells bad and everything.
That's the only prerequisite. It's not like a... There's nothing else that goes along with being a gypsy. You just need to smell bad. And also know how to take the souls out of an angel.
Well, you've also got to travel around in a vardo.
I have no idea what a vardo is. And I also didn't mean to say the word the. I just meant to say angel, like in Buffy.
A vardo is one of those weird old gypsy caravan things, you see. You know, those weird vehicles they travel around in. It's full of scarves.
Their only means of commerce.
Yeah, they sell scarves and they steal chickens, and they call, you know what they call us, right? The non gypsy folk. They call us gauja. That's a real term. Look that up.
I will look.
Is that what your girlfriend calls you?
So when she's mad at me, yeah.
Ah, I see.
She calls me that, or she calls me Minji, which means vagina-y. Rumney Chal word for vagina is minge, and for penis is Corey. So if you know anyone named Corey, laugh at him.
I think I will. This puts...
I just powered up.
All right. You leveled up from that joke?
Yeah. So you're seeing this horrible band...
on New Year's Eve.
At an airport.
Mm-hmm. Presumably, yeah.
All right.
Tignataro's airport. Wait a second. Has your girlfriend ever put a curse on you that made you go from fat to skinny?
Yes. In fact, I constantly fluctuate in weight because of her curses. And so does she, weirdly enough. I guess she's not very good at them curses, huh? Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh.
That's right.
Falcon Punch!
All right. Okay, anyway, back to this story. Did you go to... this musical event on purpose, or did you just go to New York just to go to New York and you found out this was happening? Give me all
the latter. I was there with a previous guest of the show, Warday, and we were looking for something to do on New Year's. She had a bunch of friends from NYU, as we were talking about earlier.
And you were like, what were they doing?
So I was asking in that sort of manner to her. And yeah, that's what we ended up doing for New Year's Eve. We did that, and then we just hoofed it down to Harlem afterwards.
That's
if I remember it correctly.
You don't hoof down to Harlem. You hoof up to it.
Oh, well. In the Midwest, everything is you walk down to something.
No, you're wrong.
Hadouken!
My sound effects are winning, by the way.
I'm just going to let you have the sound effects for now on.
People are going to think that this is all I do on my show is I just play these stereo. This is the first time I've ever done this. I'm just having the most fun. This is now going to be a thing I do in Pod Awful all the time, is play stupid effects.
I think that.
Oh, you can!
I think you should start getting like really super serious guests, like poets and like. People who care about the environment and play.
You're right. Yeah. Or like Tignataro. Yeah. have her come on knowing that we are not going to talk about her comedy career, but instead about her breast cancer career. And then every time she says something, I just go. She's going to have a good time on my show. She already said yes, by the way. I sent an email the other day. And she is going to be on Pod Awful. Tune in for that.
I'm
my lady.
Well, hopefully you get her on pretty soon.
Yeah. Before it takes her.
Yeah. Before she turns into Heisenberg.
Let's see what our intern, the most interesting man in the world, has to say about it.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
What a terrible thing for him to say.
What I do. I prefer those Zackies.
Okay, I guess he wants to stay thirsty, my friend. I'm so sorry, I'm derailing everything.
It's quite all right. What's your plan? So this is working out.
Well, this is pod awful. Did it there? That's the name of my show, but it's dumb, right?
I think it's a fine name for a show and for a network of shows.
Do people ever come on your show and go, oh, this is Pool Party Radio?
Every single person who's been on the show has said that.
Is that just me?
Everybody wins.
Listening to your show, that's like, I think that people go into your show like an hour before you guys go on the air. They're like, man, I'm going to say that this is pod awful at some point, and it's going to fucking kill.
Yeah, they all ask me that. There hasn't been a single guest that hasn't said something along those lines, including my guest that was on tonight, but he said it before the show began.
Well, that's good then. Maybe
speed test. Next one goes in your mouth. No, you won't get high.
All right, that was my intern Charlie Sheen.
How many interns do you have over there?
Oh my God, we've got a crazy thing going on over here. You know, it's actually just mostly Charlie Sheen and the most interesting man in the world. So far, that seems to be all the interns I have.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself to Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
And now,
it's time
for the lightning round.
First up on the lightning round, in France, during a Renaissance fair festival, a gang of thieves dressed as knights and armed with sword and axe robbed the organizers of a medieval festival in northeast France and made off with 20,000 euros, or $25,000 US.
Thank you for saying that. Since I had no idea how much a euro was.
It could have been 33 cents. Who knows?
At first, I thought they just ran off with, you know, beef in a pita.
Or one of those really big turkey legs.
Right.
So, intern Nigel Thornberry, get out of here. Sorry about that, guys. That won't happen again.
I think it's weird that England or wherever France has Renaissance festivals, because like here it's like a kooky sort of a wacky thing to do, but there it's like their grandpas were knights and wizards and stuff.
Yeah. They, like here it's like fairy tales, and there it happened.
Yeah.
Like just a couple centuries ago.
Yeah, not even that long ago.
Yeah. They some of them still remember it. The way we remember Pearl Harbor being attacked. Japan.
The way we'll never forget.
What day was Pearl Harbor Day again?
December 7th. I kind of wish would have happened somewhere in like Ohio or like Alabama or something, because no doubt there would have been like a bunch of people with guns there, especially after this Batman thing, like a bunch of concealed carry dudes, and this could have turned into like the coolest episode of The Deadliest Warrior.
Yeah, that's my only hope. Next time, huh? We'll get them next time.
Yeah, next time we'll take these guys out.
So that was me running away from gunfire.
To get your suit of armor.
A suit of armor would probably end up costing a lot. Does 25,000 cover that?
Probably not. I would think that a suit of armor would cost way more than that.
You know, if it were a modern suit of armor, I'd say that would cover it. You know, I feel like modern, if it has no historical value, then it probably doesn't cost that much, right? And they're probably making it out of inferior material.
Yeah. Probably like tin foil over cardboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah, that's what I meant.
Right.
Still $21,000 or whatever.
That was the worst one yet. Why do you
that was, have that, that was my suit of armor sound effect.
That's what I thought the Swink sound effect was going to be like. I think, yeah. Swink was the most misleading name so far, although that's the only name that I know of.
Yeah, it's the most misleading one because it's the only one you're aware of.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's play that. Let's do that segment again and guess another one.
That was the only one that had a weird name. Like, if I said, let's guess what does Morse code beeps sound like, I think we could all maybe take a guess.
It's probably slipping on a banana peel.
Did anyone get that one?
Why would slipping on the banana peel, one of the most well-known sound effects, have a weird name? More people probably know what slipping on a banana peel sounds like than Morse code.
Here's one called Smack Punch. That's it. All there is to it. I'll try to find another one that we can guess. Oh, okay, wait, here's one. Okay, what do we all think?
Well, let's do the music for this segment.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We need the Alfred Hitchcock sound effect.
I'm so unprofessional. Is it the same music as last time?
Yeah, I think it's just uniformity.
You're wrong, because this is a new segment called What's the Sound Effect? Okay, and this one is called Quick Blip. Quick Blip. What do we think Quick Blip would be used for?
I would think it would be like a really long buzzing sound.
yeah. Frisbee, any guesses?
It's probably a man slipping on a banana peel.
It's going with what we know from history. Yeah, it's a safe bet. And I'm going to say that a quick blip is a submarine. It's just what you'd hear when you're in a submarine. Oh my god. Did you even hear that?
Slightly, yeah.
Play it like 8 times just so it even happens. That's nothing. That was nothing. That sucks. I'm going to play a different one just to make up for it. Okay.
Well, all right.
That was fake computer sounds.
Yeah, that's what it used to... Kids, for any of the kids listening, that's what it used to sound like whenever you would log on to the internet.
Yeah. How many kids listen to your show, by the way? They're like kids. Actual human children?
All kids.
Really?
They're all 5, 6 years old. Hmm. I don't know. I've got no idea. I know that Seth Kuza listens to the show, but I don't know how old he is. How old he is?
He's a child. He's like 20-something.
Well, then that's how old all of our fans are. We've got no kid listeners.
Okay.
Backlash over an Asian slur t-shirt. A major skateboard company is being accused of putting racism for sale after selling a shirt featuring 2 Asian men, one of them a skateboarder, under the words Gooks of Hazard. And they're jumping into a orange car on the shirt, nicknamed the General Lee, spelled with L-I. Yeah.
I love everything about this. I would buy the shirt. I would wear it proudly. I would go to Panda Express in it.
I don't understand why anybody was like could be mad at this when it's like, you know, like if this was like just a shirt with like no context or anything. But like the dude on the shirt is a real life dude and a real life Asian dude who likes the shirt.
Yeah, Don Nguyen. Don the Nuge Nguyen.
Yeah.
Endorses the shirt.
Ted Nugent also endorses this shirt for different reasons.
You know, I one time supported something Ted Nugent said, and I got in a lot of trouble for it.
How's that? Why?
Can you elaborate, since this is not your show, or are they watching you on every show?
You know, I assume they've tapped into my phone lines and things, but we all... Well, you know, Parker, I think you know what the comments Ted Nugent made were, don't you? You could elaborate on that part of it.
Yeah, Ted Nugent said that, you know, he wanted to get some guns, and... He didn't specifically say, but he implied heavily that he wanted to kill President Obama.
And I said I want to get a crossbow and do the same thing, but when I said it was a joke, and I'm sorry to the First Lady.
Who doesn't smell like doo-doo, like her husband does.
Oh my god, no. She smells like tangerines.
She does. She probably smells like, you know the smell that you smell when you go into like a yoga place where they have yoga? That's what she smells like.
Or yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt store.
She smells like fruit on the bottom.
How do you feel about this shirt, Mr. Frisbee? Would you wear this shirt?
No, I wouldn't wear it, but I think it's fine.
But you would support it financially?
I would send them money for the price of one shirt, but I would ask them not to send me one. Yeah.
You would go out of your way to write them a letter to say, don't send me one of these.
Please don't send me the shirt, but I want to show my support in what you're doing. Right. Nice work, guys.
I believe heavily in you guys.
I like what you're doing.
Yeah, the cut of your jibs.
Do you feel that this shirt is racist, or do you think that this is a real Asian man on the shirt? Does that get not racist?
I don't think it's racist if the guy is supporting it, but it's definitely goofy.
If personally, I think it's unbelievable.
Actually, one of the phrases on the shirt says the good ore boys instead of old boys.
Also,
this is the greatest shirt.
It's a very fun shirt.
Oh boy, I don't think any of us can live after this. I'm going to go kill myself.
You shot yourself with your own crossbow?
He's dead now. He's gone.
He's dead. Okay. Last story in the lightning round.
Yep.
I'm back. Sorry, I fought my way through hell. I came back.
Last story is Cambodians flock to a magic lottery tree. Some 4,000 to 5,000 people have already been to see the 13-meter-long log that was discovered earlier this month when a family excavated a pond in western Pisat province. They believe the log has magical powers.
Which once again proves my theory, Cambodians have nothing to do.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on the show one time that it was like bad that Pol Pot killed all the Cambodians. But in light of this new story, maybe Pol Pot was onto something, because these people are obviously very stupid.
I have a very close friend named Eric who lived in Cambodia for, I don't know, 100 years, maybe less. And and he had one of the worst diarrheas of his life there. And what he found out, is a lot of Cambodian people, this is a fact that a lot of you don't realize, a lot of Cambodian people have purple poop because they eat dragon fruit all the time and it just turns your stools purple. So I wonder if having such crazy colored poops makes them think that things like that are magic. You know, they think their bowels are magic. They think their trees are magic. They think their tuk-tuks are magic.
Yeah, well, if they're going around naming things dragon fruit, they obviously believe in magic.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, at least 100 people a day visit this log to ask for lottery numbers and to cure their illnesses, which is insane. Like, I couldn't imagine, I can't imagine seeing 100 people a day because I never leave my house. But when I do, I generally don't see 100 people a day. Like, I went to the library today where you can get, like, knowledge and porn on the internet, and there's only, like, 20 people there. So that means, you know, so many more people believe in a magical log than believe in the internet.
What was the cross-section of those 20 people that were masturbating?
Of the 20 people, there's 3 or 4 masturbating.
Okay.
Would you go to a magical tree, Frisbee, for your lottery numbers or to cure your illnesses?
No. No, I would not.
What if you were told that it could help you with your shin splints?
I would probably go, yeah.
But you wouldn't jog because that would hurt the shin splints.
Yes. What if you walk very carefully.
What if you were told it could help you with your spin schlints?
I would be slightly confused. I don't know what that means.
Well, they're Cambodian. They speak a different language.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess that's the end of the lightning round and the end of the show. Oh, all right. Before we get to the real end of the show, I did want to mention that we got another review comment thing on the iTunes, which everybody should leave us one. Leave us some 5-star ratings and some reviews and stuff, because
I agree with that.
It helps the show tremendously. Please help us. We have nothing other to live for. But we got a comment from Sig Kyle, who apparently likes the show. 5 stars worth of liking it.
Sig Kyle was listening to my show tonight. I like this guy.
I noticed that.
Yeah. It's a great name, by the way. Sig Kyle.
It's very funny.
That's the funniest name. Because especially if his name is actually Kyle, it means he was sitting around in his room going, you know, my name sounds an awful lot like half of the thing people said to Hitler. Better run with it.
I got to make something of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he left the 30th one. We now have 31 ratings. But apparently, several years ago, when we were first starting out, I said that when we got to 30 reviews, I would tell the story of the time I killed somebody. Which is, now that it's taken 2 years to get to this, which I thought that it would take 1 week, so thanks a lot, everybody, for your hard work and giving us comments. I'll tell that story next week, although I do warn you that A, it's a little anticlimactic, and B, usually when I tell this story, I expect it to be very hilarious, and it ends up being really sad and people stop liking me. As killing people goes. So, look forward to that, or don't, next week. And also,
that in itself was also anticlimactic.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell the story now.
No, I'm in next week.
I feel sad now.
We're out of time. That's how you do radio. You tease.
Oh, you're right. You're right. The producer's tapping at his watch right now.
Yep. Robo John. thanks, Jesse P.S., for coming on our show this week.
Hey, man, there's no problem. All I had to do was keep sitting here at my mic.
Which you probably would have done anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to throw out some plugs to the things that you do?
Oh, that was the sound of me flying away, but I guess so. you're right. I should probably plug my show. Well, my show is called Pod Awful, and it is nothing like what I've done here, how I've ruined this show. It is, however, me ruining my own show. Every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I actually record mine live, so you can watch as we're recording it. There's a video feed, there's a chat room, you can call into the show, and that's over at podawful.com/TV every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, you know, I've got some YouTube videos. If you go to youtube.com/podawful, they're all porn, so have fun with that. It's all just dudes jerking off in places they shouldn't. And yeah, we're starting a little network thingy back up, right? We're doing that. I should say that, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. We're changing the name.
We're changing the name. Well, I'm changing the name clearly from the name. but as before, you know, we were all part of the Red Band network. It is now becoming the Pod Awful channel. And what that is, it's me. It's the Pool Party guys. Parker and I did our own little podcast that I'm trying to finish the website for so we can finally put that out, called Awful Flicks, where it's, you know, comedy commentary for your Netflix queue. I think Ear Candy is in there, but they still haven't given me confirmation, so we'll see. But there will be, I'm also asking some other shows. I think we're going to get some other shows in there. So it's just a little hub of shows that I think are good, that might not get the exposure otherwise. We share an audience, you know. So if you listen to Pool Party Radio, you should listen to the other shows on there. If you listen to my show, you should start, you know, subscribing, leaving those comments on iTunes for Pool Party and so on. And I'm hoping to make a little video part of that as well, hoping to expand that out to YouTube. So you'll be able to check that out soon. It's Pod Awful channel, and all that stuff is over at podawful.com. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for being here.
That's a cute way to end that plug.
Thanks. I mean... and fuck you guys, I'm out! And then I'm going to play a really mean song.
What a frisbee.
That what you expected from me?
A little.
Okay, how about this? All right, so check out podawful.com, or I'll fuck your mother. All right.
got us pegged. It's a 90s song that only we would remember.
Go to poolpartyradio.com, download all our episodes, and go to iTunes and Jason Frisbee on Twitter, Parker, Arizona. Next week, Mike Dick from Kissing Contest will be here, kissingcontestpodcast.com, who they're celebrating their 100th episode. So go listen to them. And all right, so until next week, this is Parker for Jesse P.S., Robo John Brown, intern Charlie Sheen, intern most interesting man in the world, and Jason, Razor Babes, Frizz Babe. Fuck you, Chelios.
Outside gets humid, I happen to sweat, but my AC makes me feel so much better. Sitting comfort in my chair, the air conditioning makes me feel so good. Relax all day while the sun is out, cause inside it is so nice and cool. What would I do without my AC? I wouldn't be able to survive. What would I do without
air conditioning?
Frisbee, if I gave you a set of jokes to do for stand-up, would you go perform them?
Just here, where I'm at right now?
Yeah, wherever, anywhere. But it has to be my jokes verbatim. This is a thing that I'm trying to get started. I don't like having to go do stand-up. I don't enjoy going outside. So what if I just gave my jokes to other people to perform, like Gallagher, all across the nation?
I think that you should franchise it out, though, like Gallagher. Like, just take the Gallagher thing all the way and just have these people perform as Jesse P.S.
Right, with a long hair wig and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Tony Clifton sort of thing?
I want them to, when they introduce you out to the stage, say, you know, here's the host of the Pod Awful podcast, Jesse P.S. And then I just sit back and reap all of the non-benefits.
The sweet open mic benefits, yeah.
Although, if it does get you laid, you do have to pay it forward.
So I have to have sex with you if I get laid.
That's, yeah, that's what
that's what you're saying.
Okay. In every context. that's what Haley Joel Osment was trying to get you to do. To have sex with him.
And it worked on all of America for a short time.
Right, that short time before he got stabbed to death.